coming up tonight on your favorite podcast, breaking news in the golf world. It feels like our long national nightmare is over as far as the divided golf governments. Big merger, PGA Tour, DP World Tour, PIF, the Saudi LIV Golf Fund. They're not really calling it that, but it's got more questions than answers right now. It's very fresh. Ty and I have called an emergency podcast. We are going to have it over the next half hour, 45 minutes. We haven't potted a ton the last couple weeks. It's been full school grind and, you know, other things as well. But as we move to the, we had to get on for this. So we've been railing on it for a year and a half. So we have to stand here and take it if we have any credibility at all. So we are going to do that. So Ty and I, your emergency golf pod, coming in the next 2 seconds. So enjoy it here on the pod. Yeah, we got no time for that. We're not screwing around tonight. We got too much to talk about. Hey, everybody, it's the Tim Anderson Podcast. I'm Tim. That's my guy, Tyus, over there in his palatial estate, just a few miles up the road from me. And I know we haven't potted much in the last week and a half because there hasn't been a lot of sports to talk about. We've been waiting for something big to happen, and Jesus Christ, did we get something big happen today. And since you and I have been all over it, Tyus, we have to talk about it. So I'm sorry, your four-man scramble victory will have to wait a little bit so that we can talk about this. Tyus, good to see you.
Thank you so much, Tim. And I don't know, man, that could still be the A topic, but holy buckets. This is a golf podcast, first and foremost, and this is the biggest golf news we have had in a long time. So it feels good to be on a true emergency podcast.
This is about as emergency as it gets. You and I have not really had a chance to talk. We haven't had a chance to really prep here. We just wanted to get on, open up a mic, talk a little bit about what we kind of feel and where we know what we don't know much. I mean, we still really don't know much of anything other than just sort of the parameters of some of the kind of the inner workings of this. But we don't know what this means for the tour going forward. We don't know what this looks like in the world of golf next year. We have no idea. It may not change it much. It may change it a ton, but we've got a lot to get to tonight. So let me start with this, Ty. You hear the news at about 8-something, 9-something this morning. You text me, I text you. Like, we're basically on each other from the second it breaks, and we're talking right away this morning. Your thoughts when you hear this news and your overall reaction to the story. By the way, for those of you who are just tuning in and have not heard anything, the PGA Tour, the DP World Tour, and the Public Investment Fund, a.k.a. the Saudi Investment Fund, a.k.a. the people who finance LIV Golf, reached a deal on a – they don't want to call it a merger, but they want to call it like a unification, if you will, and they are now partners. Your thoughts?
So, like you mentioned, we've already learned a lot since I first heard about it. But you asked a question about my first reaction, and my first reaction was not a whole lot of surprise. Again, it came out of left field.
Today, yeah, it's a surprise today, but not a surprise in the grand scheme of life. I think we felt like this was the end game, right?
Well, originally, I thought that the end game was what I thought happened at 9 o'clock was – okay, you can have your world ranking points, you can play in the majors, you can play sponsor exemptions, but we're not one. And that's what I thought it was. In all honesty, I read the headline, I clicked on the article, I read the first few sentences because I was busy, and that's what I assumed it was. Nothing really more to see here. Okay, good for good for the game of golf, I suppose. Good for both sides to be able to come to that agreement. And then I started to read a little bit more when I got some more time. And holy buckets, this is a big deal. You had mentioned just a second ago that, you know, we'll see if this has a whole lot of change, you know, if this changes a whole lot of things. I think it's going to change a lot of things. I mean, it changes the whole framework of the sport that we come on here to talk about. Again, we're going to learn a lot more. We've learned a lot since 9 o'clock. We're going to learn a lot more over the next month, 2 months, year. But the PGA going from a not-for-profit to now a for-profit.
With a not-for-profit piece still there attached to it.
Yeah,
I think they're just – I don't know how that passes any kind of muster or smell test.
Yeah, And there's remains to be seen how they're going to pass the monopoly test. That's way above my pay grade. But it sounds like they're just keeping the PGA Tour intact as the whatever C7 corporation or whatever, where they're a not-for-profit, not quite a charity, but not far off of it. But essentially, this not-for-profit is going to be funded and managed by a for-profit corporation, which is backed by the Saudis. So the way I'm reading it at this point, again, not 9 o'clock, but maybe like 3 o'clock tie, reading into it a little bit more, watching some videos, turning on the Golf Channel, is the Saudis essentially said, we will back you. We're going to throw more money at you that you can handle. We might know some more things about this, the pending litigation than the public knows. And we are essentially taking over the PGA Tour. I don't look at it as much as, you know, the Live Tour and PGA Tour are going to live together. No pun intended. They're going.
Yeah, I think Live's dead.
I think Live's dead. I think the Saudis just said, you know what? We kind of would rather just run everything you guys are doing. So what we know is the PGA Tour could be totally different in a year or two.
That's the more I think about. So here's how I see it. And this is kind of my thought. First of all, I feel like a colossal chump. Like, and I think if you're Rory McIlroy, you feel like a colossal chump. I think if you're Jon Rahm, you feel like a chump. If you're Matsuyama, you feel like a chump. The only guy who probably doesn't feel like a chump is Tiger Woods, because Tiger doesn't care. Tiger's got $1 billion. What was 600? He wasn't going to play on Live anyway. Like, there was no chance in hell he was ever going to play a 14 tournament schedule. He knew it. They knew it. Didn't matter. Right. But for everybody else who sat there and rode for the PGA Tour and said, you know what, we're going to stand for integrity here. We're going to stand for humanity. We're going to stand for human rights. You're talking out of your asshole. Like, that wasn't a real thing. Like it wasn't real. Like, none of that was real. This was about Jay Monahan and the PGA Tour crushing their competition and winning however it was all about. Because you notice that the guy who's not in this conversation is Greg Norman.
No.
He's not in it at all. And by all accounts, he found out about this deal 1 minute before the deal went public. Like, he literally had no idea what was happening behind the scenes. So this was the Saudi investment fund saying, you know what? This Live's a dog in America. It's not going to work. We're never going to get the ratings traction we need. Unless we buy literally all the players, we're going to have to invest $3 billion before we even potentially – we'll never make our money back on this. And this league might be so toxic that we're never going to get the bang for our buck. We're better off going over the head of Live and going over the head of our CEO and going to Jay Monahan ourselves and just brokering this deal. And that feels like that's what happened. It feels like Jay Monahan was like, yeah, it's not about, I just don't want Greg Norman to win. So whatever it takes for us to get this deal done, let's get it done. And that's what it feels like. You know what it also feels like? And Ty, you're a business guy, so I think you can speak to this a little bit. I feel like when mergers happen or when deals happen, it's usually when one side, two things can happen, right? One is one side literally has all the leverage and one side's got no leverage and you just got to cave and take a shitty deal, right? You get absorbed by the bigger group. Or you get to a place where both sides are teetering on the edge of no leverage, right? I got a feeling like the PGA Tour sat back and said, we are on borrowed time and money. Because we're asking our corporate sponsors to spend more money and they're not going to. AT&T pulled out of the Byron Nelson. Honda pulled out of the Honda Classic. You know, they're not going to sponsor these anymore because they can't afford them and they don't want to afford them. They don't see the bang for their buck. You're seeing a Saudi fund with literally unstoppable pockets. You can't stop them. There wasn't enough money in the coffer to hold them off. You're staring a year and a half to 2 years worth of lawsuits, court, legal battles. How much of the legal fees do you really want to rack up here? And if you're the PGA, you're just saying to yourself, we maybe would have had the leverage if Brooks Koepka didn't win the PGA Championship. We maybe would have had the leverage if all the LIV guys would have stunk up the joint at the Masters. But it didn't happen. And so they didn't have the leverage on the players from LIV. Then on the other side, the Saudis, LIV, et cetera, were starting to look increasingly at their television ratings and saying, you know what? There is no audience here. There's simply not enough viewers in the United States to watch two golf leagues. Doesn't exist. We can't get traction. And because of the PGA Tour's corporate backing, we're not going to get on major television. We're not getting on NBC. We're not getting on ABC. We're not getting on CBS. We're not getting on Fox. It's not happening. So we need to cut bait here, maybe, and invest our money into a known commodity right now and see if we can't get into bed with a tour that's going to get us in front of 10 million people or 5 million people, get us to major championships instead of getting us to the freaking Saudi Tucson event. You know, I'm pretty confident they said to themselves, we are small potatoes right now, and we're investing way too much money to be small potatoes. And I think that's both sides looked at that and said, we don't have a lot of leverage. Let's make a deal. And that's where we are.
Yeah, it certainly was the latter of the two points you put out. So PGA Tour had the good product and no leverage and money. And don't get me wrong, the PGA Tour has its money, but it's also
not that money.
Potentially a public, it's potentially public information how much money they have, right? Whereas the Saudis, it's an unknown, it's an endless pit of money. So they didn't have the product, but they had the financial backing.
And they didn't want to go to court either. Like, no. They didn't want to have to sit there and have to open their books up and have to answer questions in American court. They didn't want to do that.
Right. Isn't it funny how money always wins? Right.
Money always wins.
As much as people can say, you know, it's about values and ethics and, you know, things of that nature. And it's about 9/11. And then all of a sudden a sweet deal. See, something we never took into account was Rory McIlroy was given an offer. Justin Thomas was given an offer. Dustin Johnson, obviously, Brooks Koepka given an offer. Tiger. But was money ever slid in front of Jay Monahan? So he criticized the people who left. And the second there was money put in front of him, he's like, you know what? I think I'm going to be the CEO of this new company.
Yeah, he's not even the commissioner of the PGA Tour.
Yeah, he certainly has egg on his face at this point. And that did not take long for the national narrative to kind of play that out. Jay Monahan, I would have said previously he had done a pretty good job. I think that generally the feeling was that he was, you know, standing up to LIV and he was doing the things that he, you know, using the tools he had to try to battle him. And I would have put him up with, you know, Adam Silver for best commissioner. And now he sure looks a lot like David Stern.
I like David Stern way better than I liked. I mean, Stern was maybe you could argue a little crooked, but I think Stern. I mean, Stern was never shy about the fact that he was about making the best deal for the league.
Right.
I don't think he ever lied about that.
Well, I'm saying publicly, David Stern was not very popular.
Well, Goodell certainly isn't popular. Like,
no, Goodell's not popular.
He's become Gary Bettman. He's become he's Rob Manfred.
Yep.
You know.
Yep. And these guys have a shelf life, right? And Jay Monahan's shelf life has come to an end. I'll be curious to see.
The word on the street is they've already called for his resignation on the tour. The word on the there are many people in the meeting. Well, in
resignation
Canada.
From what? Do they even have a voting
interest?
Well,
that's just it. What is he going to resign from? He's the CEO of the
team. He's the
company.
CEO. Yeah.
So, he's not the commissioner anymore? Oh, darn. Okay, here's the Saudi guy that's going to be running your league next year. Congratulations. There's that. And again, it's the idea that Jay Monahan, and I get it, the commissioner's comeback will be, my job is to make the best deal for our organization and our players. That is my job. And in my opinion, I made that. He can come back and say, I guaranteed more money. I guaranteed more profit. I guaranteed better pensions. I guaranteed everything to all the players, mules and thoroughbreds included. That's what he'll say. But he is such a hypocrite on this deal because he sat there and he looked at those players and he said, be loyal, stay loyal. We're going to fight the good fight. We're never giving in. We'll win out in the end. They told the fans that. They said, be a golf fan, support the PGA Tour. Don't support LIV. Support this. Support this underdog brand. And again, it comes back to, again, what you said. Money always wins. And again, us fans, you're chumps. Like, you're marks. They're, now they get to continue to charge you $15 for your beer and $200 for your tickets. And you're going to keep paying it. You're going to keep paying it. You're going to keep bankrolling Dustin Johnson's second yacht, third yacht, Brooks Koepka's second mansion. You're going to bankroll that.
Yeah, and they want the PGA Tour to be global, right? So what's going to happen if we refuse to pay the $250 grounds pass asking price? They're going to bring more tournaments overseas. They're going to be in Saudi Arabia.
They don't care. Yeah, because that's the end game here. The end game is bringing all the big stars, just no different than when the WWE signed that deal in Saudi Arabia. Everybody was like, wow, what's that deal going to be? A boatload of money. You know, it's going to be a boatload of money. They're going to go there twice a year. They're going to fill up the stadiums and they're going to do crazy business there. And that's why they're doing it. It wasn't about ethics.
Here's the ironic part about what the Saudi guy, I don't even know his name, don't care to know.
Yasser.
Said on CNBC today, he said, this deal is about making the game of golf more accessible. It's rich.
It's very rich. Yeah. I mean, for it is so rich. Like, again, are you going to tell me, is that I would have, my follow-up question would be if, and Yasser and MBS and the rest of the folks at the PIF, if you'd like to come on the podcast, I'd love to have you. I would ask you, does that include girls in your country? Will you allow female golfers in your country to play golf? Like, I mean, like in your own country. Yeah, it's one thing to call Nelly Korda in and pay Nelly Korda money to entertain. It's another thing to say, you know, this young daughter of this family here can go play golf. Because I am not 100% sure that that's accurate.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because,
doesn't matter.
And that's what Phil basically said. And the one thing I'll say about Phil was a, Phil's an ass clown, but at least he's honest about it. That's the LIV guys today have the high ground. They have the high ground in this conversation because they haven't changed.
Yeah.
They said, I don't really care about human rights in Saudi Arabia. I don't really care about sports washing. I care about playing less golf for more money. That's what I care about. I care about the United States of Dustin Johnson and the United States of Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau and Pat. That's what I care about. I do not care about the folks over here or the folks over here, the John Deere Classic or the 3M Open. I'm not interested in those things. Those things do nothing for me. I'm talking about the United States of me. And they were at least honest about that. You know, for Jay Monahan to stand there and invoke 9/11 victims and to invoke Jamal Khashoggi's fiance and talk about moral high grounds and standards. I mean, it's so rich.
Yeah.
It's giving me diabetes just thinking about it. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Did you watch the whole CNBC? It's very painful.
It's painful. Yeah, it's painful. And Jay Monahan doesn't have the guts. You know, go on Golf Channel and say that. Stand in front of Eamon Lynch and Brandel Chamblee and take that question. Yeah. Have the courage to do it one time. The issue I have is for a year plus, Ty, he made Rory McIlroy and Matthew Fitzpatrick and John Rahm and all those guys stand there and take the live bullets every week. You know, sat there and just said, you guys go out there and be the mouthpiece for the tour while I sit in the office. Never had the courage to stand there one time. I mean, it's gutless. No other way around it. Gutless.
Yeah. I totally agree. And he has become the martyr. And I don't think that, no, that's the wrong word. He has become the,
he's Harvey Dent.
Yeah.
He could have died a hero, but he's lived long enough to become the villain.
What's the doll you push the pins into?
The voodoo doll.
I don't think there's any coming back from this. And like you said, I think that the live guys are coming up smelling like roses. I do think certain people.
Phil looks vindicated.
He does, but I do think
he's still a prick.
Yeah, he's still a prick. And, you know, but there's enough guys who went to live, who kept their head down, who said the right things, who, because of this deal, will jump right back to where they were, no questions asked. Right?
100%. 100%. Yeah. Like,
if you're Harold Varner.
If you're a Harold Dustin Varner Johnson, fan, Brooks if you're a Koepka. Brooks Koepka guy,
yep.
If you're a Cam Smith guy,
yep, you're fine.
You're going to love those. And now let's talk about it. Yeah, this is a good spot. Let's segue quickly and just talk about what this means for the golf. Like, I feel like, again, it makes me look like a total boob. And Zach has been on me in our tech stream for an entire year saying I'm self-righteous. And that this is just me on my on Mount Pius looking down on everybody. And he's right. You know, he's right. And so Zach ended up being kind of proven right here. But as far as the golf goes, a lot of people are standing up and saying, now the players aren't saying this, but like the entities of golf are saying a united golf is better than a divided golf. And I agree with that. It's true. Right? The house divided couldn't stand. There was no way this was going to work. Eventually, the best players need to be playing all the best tournaments together. The players, the US Open, the Masters, the Open Championship, and it needs to happen, right? And so as far as golf goes, what does this do for the remainder of this season and then next season going forward?
Yeah, I don't know. In the short term, I don't think there's going to be a ton of effects. I think that these live guys are probably committed to the tournaments they're going to be playing for the remainder of their season. I think a lot of that's going to play out similarly to the way it would have normally, other than, you know, if Carlos Ortiz wants to come back and play some sort of sponsors exemption, that'll probably be allowed. In the grand scheme of things, not to go backwards, but I really feel betrayed. I feel like I was told that sports are about the fans, and specifically this was about the fans and the product that's being put on the field. And I feel like this couldn't scream anything more far from that. You know, next year they're going to be playing purses that are larger. And I don't think that does anything for you and I.
No shit.
Two of the biggest golf fans in the world.
Have you ever been interested in how much the player gets for first place? Have you ever been interested?
Never. I think that the players deserve to be well compensated, very well compensated.
Make what you can make. I'm not going to say nothing.
As they have been. Yep. Yeah. But I just paid $55 for which was previously $45 for a 3M Open, day pass. Paid $55 this year. The winner of the tournament got about $1.1 million in the past. I don't care if it's $3.1 million or $5.1 or $15.1 next year. I don't care.
Will it even happen next year?
Yeah, and that's another conversation. It probably won't. But the sad part is they're going to want $350 for you and I to walk around the grounds. And, you know, that feels like a punch in the stomach. So again, I don't know what it means. Again, we're going to find out so much. I have no clue what this means. I've learned so much in the last few hours. But I don't see it being better for the game. Again, is it better that the two sides are in cohesion? Yes. Right. These players being struck from from the top tour in the world was not necessarily a good thing, but we're not going to be in the same place as we were if LIV had never happened. That's my point.
Yeah.
It's going to be a place probably worse for the golf fan. Again, if we don't pay those prices, they're just going to take it overseas. Much like the NBA. I hate to compare it to the NBA, but I feel that the NBA knows that their product is not all that popular in the United States, but they don't care. They don't need us because they have so much overseas revenue, so much fandom in China and Russia and Japan and Europe and places like that, that they don't necessarily care that you and I don't care to go to the games or tune into them. It just doesn't matter, right? It's not affecting their bottom line to the point where they're willing to do anything about it. And that's what I'm afraid of going forward.
Yeah. You know, people, like I said, all the entities have said that this is a win for the golf fan, and maybe it will be, you know, maybe in 3-4 years, we'll look back and we'll say, man, this team thing is better than we thought. And maybe the individual thing is better than we thought. And maybe the model that we have on tour right now is a good model. Maybe, you know, maybe we will say that there is a chance that we will look back on this and say, man, it's great. And we were wrong, and this was right. But again, you know, is IndyCar better than it was 35 years ago? You know, is NASCAR better than it was 35 years ago? NBA? And if, I mean, not money and efficiency and, you know, the data of it all, I think has just ruined everything. Like, it's ruined everything. And this comes from the old guy, the get off my lawn guy, but it's made it like, I mean, I don't know how I can watch this now. I mean, I'm trying to find a way to just watch it because I like it, but the guys who are playing, I don't know, like it. They're playing it because they get paid really well and they could not play, you know, as soon as they make enough money, they're going to be out of there and they don't care. I get the vibe. They don't care. And that's going to be the thing that they have to resell to me as a fan, is like, oh, these guys really care and they really want to do a good job. Did you really think that watching anything from LIV that Bubba fucking Watson gave a half a shit about what a fan thought their golf game looked like? You think they cared that Pat Perez shot 16 over par in 3 rounds and got paid $800,000? Like, no fan cared.
Yeah. Do you think a fan, do you think no cut guaranteed payouts do anything for the fan? I get it. I get that these guys have to pay their way to get there. I get that.
That's part of the draw.
Making them not care about the results in the tournament. That's not, yeah.
Yeah. I guess TBD on whether or not I think this is good. Dan Patrick thinks this is great for fans. Jack Nicklaus thinks it's great for fans. The Masters, you know, they're all saying the same stuff today. And, you know, maybe I'm alone now standing with Brandel Chamblee and Eamon Lynch and you, but I'm like, eh, to be determined on that, to be determined. I'm not ready to stand here and say that this is great for the game of golf. Like, and now what tells me is that, like, okay, now, I mean, I guess where it is great is the players gets Cam Smith back. You know, and the tournaments get Cam, you know, we might get Cam Smith and get Brooks Koepka at some cool PGA events. Having him at Phoenix might be really cool. You know, having him back at some of these venues might be great for the fields of golf. And maybe the 3M, if they keep it, gets better. Maybe. I don't know. To be continued. I don't know the answer to that. Anything else you want to cover on this real quick? Anything you want to get to in your immediate reaction? Or do we need to wait and see kind of how this plays itself out over the next 2 weeks?
Yeah, I've been glued to my TV lately. At this point, I'm just itching to hear everybody's opinion, right? Because
yeah.
I think from the PGA Tour people who resisted this for so long, the actual players, right? The people that we care about. I don't care about Jay Monahan or his minions, or I don't care about the Masters or anything like that. I'm dialed into what they're saying, but I think the message is going to be mostly consistent that, hey, we were caught off guard by this. I don't think that it was done in our best interest, but what do you do, right? We are at the mercy of this group. It's pretty crazy that this organization, the best golf platform in the world, went from a player-run organization where everything was voted on by the players and they took, you know, did they necessarily have to get their say? I'm not sure. But they did. It overwhelmingly, they did. And in the matter of minutes, it has turned into something totally different. And whether or not we are still enjoying the product the same, less, or more in 2 or 3 years, I think that, that'll be an overarching thing, right? We think we know that. We know the frame, right? The framework of the deal that's in place. That's what we know. And to me, I don't care if I tell you in 2 years that I've enjoyed the changes because the product has gotten better. It's a sad day for golf. That's kind of my two cents there.
And you wonder too, like, where does this stop? Because I have to believe now that this opens the door for the LPGA. You know, the LPGA has been talked about a Saudi takeover of that for a while. I think that's done now. I think that's absolutely happening. They will run all of professional golf within the next 2 years. I'm prepared to stand on that. I think that is absolutely going to happen. And then the question is, where does that stop? When does the PIF say, you know, Ryan doesn't believe that, you know, Ryan thinks they're, you know, they have all the money today. Will they have all the money in 20 years? You know, I don't know the answer to that question. But what's to stop them from saying, you know what? We'd like to own an NFL franchise. Hell, we'd like to own the all NFL. Yeah. We'd like to own all 30. What's it going to cost for all 32? $100 billion? Cut them a check. You know, let's just go cut a check right now. We'll own all of the NFL teams. You know, let's do that. Or let's take over the NHL. Let's own hockey. You know, what is to stop that from happening? And how do we know we're not going to get to a place? I mean, in the NFL, that's kind of already happened. Because look at all the teams that own look at all the guys who own multiple teams. The Sixers owner just bought the Washington Cobra Commanders. One guy owns two franchises in two cities. You know, go down the line. You know, look at all the guys that are that have their hands in multiple teams. Pretty soon you're going to get to a place where like 25 guys, 30 guys own all of the professional sports in the world. They're going to own all the franchises in the world, 30 guys. And is that the world you want? Is that the sports world that everybody says, yeah, that's way better than what we used to do? I don't know. And that's just money. It. Maybe that's doomsday. Maybe that's Anderson. You're totally dooming it. I don't know. Like, what's this? They've gone from not being a player in any sports to owning F1, to owning major pieces of the English Premier League, to now owning professional golf. Like, okay, like they have made some gigantic strides. We're talking big time bucks, huge strides. Where does that stop?
Yeah.
The WWE, huge deal with the WWE. And huge deal with the UFC. I mean, big money.
Money talks.
Money wins, Ty. That's the slogan for today. Money wins. Yeah. Money wins. You know, money wins, rich people win, rich get richer.
On a positive note, shout out to Rose Zhang. Holy bucket, she's good.
Shout out to Rose Zhang. Hell yeah. Love Rose Zhang.
Oh my God.
Let's get in on that. Let's buy that stock.
Yeah.
Hey, okay, we got to do something positive to end the podcast. Thank God for Rose Zhang. Tell me about your team win. We got to do it. We got to end something positive here. I want to hear about your team victory in the scramble that you just... Scrambles are stupid, but they're not stupid if you win. Good job by you.
Scrambles are stupid unless you win. Absolutely. So, tournament that I've played in a lot of years. It's kind of near and dear to my heart. It's the Dylan Wichen Foundation. Wichen was a Anoka kid.
Yep, that's right. Heard all about this tournament. Didn't get invited. Sad. I got to talk to the family and be like, hey, you got to let me in on this.
Yeah. So 72 teams, full tournament every year. This is probably 100%. Like the eighth
that's
or ninth
probably why I can't get in it.
Year I've played in it. And came with the A team. Not like I came with a bunch of college golfers, but we had four decent hitters. We had my uncle who's 65 can hit from the senior tees.
So smart. You got to get somebody that can play from the up tees.
I know. It really did help us a few times. So we kind of started slow. And then we were playing Crossroads. So we started on 5, I believe on 9, par 5. We basically
said, ninth hole, straight ahead.
If we don't birdie this hole, we were 1 under at the time. If we don't birdie this hole, we're just going to, kindly call the cart girl over and say, we will take all of the drinks that you have on your cart and we're going to have a good time. And if we do, we're going to try to win this thing. So those who don't play a lot of scrambles because they're stupid, the Golf Genius app has made scrambles kind of fun because you can follow the leaderboard as you go.
Although I think people are using that to cheat.
Yeah. And nobody did in this situation. We kept thinking that, but also now you can edit your scores, but we were going back and everyone was putting their scores in. So that would be what I thought is more common is people would just not put their scores in.
And then just wait and then go in and update. Yeah.
Certainly, I do think there's a cheating aspect to scrambles, but I think it's more so just kind of slow playing it and trying to catch other teams off guard. Yep. Nobody did that. So we were kind of right at the top kind of the whole time. And then we had a nice little lead, like 2 strokes. And then someone must have made an eagle. So then we were tied. We had to birdie our last hole to win outright. And we didn't. We parred 4, which is a disappointing hole to par.
Yep.
Dog leg left, drivable.
Shorty.
Hit a good drive. And just, it was a back right pin, which is diabolical on that hole. And we just couldn't get anything close enough to birdie. So we were worried. Until we realized that it was a scorecard playoff. So we birdied the number 1 handicap, birdied the number 2 handicap, eagled the 3, birdied 4, birdied the 5 handicap. So we were pretty safe.
So you shot 59 as a team. Is that what it was? Did I see?
14 under.
So 58. So you shot 58.
Yep. So no string, no mulligans. It was straight up. 72 teams. That was kind of
fun. How about that?
Yeah.
Good stuff. Big payout for you, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Donated it all right back to the foundation because you're a very philanthropic guy. But once again,
exactly.
Rich get richer. Money continues to talk. Everybody continues to win. Good job by you. No, it's good for that foundation. They're wonderful people. They're affiliated with Anoka, my school that I teach at. And they do wonderful things for our football program, for our athletic department, and for our high school. So It's a great cause, one that I will 100% co-sign and support for you all day on that one.
Yeah, it's for St. Jude. St. Jude, for those who don't know, nobody pays for anything there. Not travel expenses, not medical expenses. It's really cool.
Great cause.
And they just posted on their Facebook that they raised over $130,000 at that tournament. So really cool.
Yep. Absolutely great cause. One that I will absolutely co-sign with you on. Wonderful work by you.
Yeah.
Tyus, we're going to keep an eye on this. We're going to monitor. We're going to watch it closely. We're going to be back on here again. Next week is U.S. Open preview. So next week, I have to assume we will revisit this. But my hope is next week we will do a full pod because we have to talk about the golf course, the tournament, and everything else under the sun. So big blow at the budget pod for next week.
I'll be here.
Thank you, my friend. Be good. Say hi to the wife and kids. I'm sure that you will do that. And of course, obviously, you can keep listening here to the podcast. We'll try to get back into a regular schedule. I know we always slow down a little bit in the summer anyway, but we will try to do a regular podcast schedule as much as we possibly can. Got to get a little healthier. Injured my neck at the golf course a week ago. Haven't quite recovered from that yet. Hoping to get back at it real soon so we can keep you posted on that one. So till next time. For Ty, this is Tim saying keep your head up. Keep your head up, golf world. It's going to get better, we think, one day. Maybe. I don't know. Could. Keep your head up, golf world. We'll see you.